Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shkalim Daf Chaf Aleph, the second to last daf of Masechah Shkalim. We left off at the two dots on the bottom of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landerer so much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. So the first thing we're going to discuss today is we mentioned that when a Kohen Gadol dies, that we bring his Karban Mincha, Mishal Machlokas, whether we bring him Mishal Tzibur or Mishal Yorshim. But the question is, how exactly would they do that? And the Gemara is going to tell us that even according to Rabbi Shimon, that when a Kohen Gadol dies, we bring Mishal Tzibur. But since it happens so often they had to make takana in order to figure out where the money was going to come from, because during the tkufa of Bayis Sheni, Kohanim Gadolim were dying left and right, meaning so they had they cost the tzibur a lot of money. So the Gemara is going to go through the various stages in the takanos of what they made in terms of how to pay for those karbanos. Now the Gemara is going to discuss whether we bring a full isarun of flour in the afternoon, or meaning when we said when the Kohen Gadol dies, instead of a chatzi isarun in the morning, chatzi isarun in the afternoon, when it's bum Mishal Tzibur, it's a full Isarun. What does that mean? One full Isarun a day, or still in the morning and in the afternoon, just a full Isarun each time in the morning and the afternoon? And then the Gemara at the very end of the parak is going to discuss about how there's no Me'ila on the Efer Para, but different Gzeros that they might have made along the way, as that Halacha had to evolve on a Drabanan level based on the realities of the situation. Then in the beginning of the 8th parak, the Mishnah is going to talk about whether all roke, all saliva that's found on the streets of Yerushalayim is considered to be tahar, or maybe no. Maybe it depends on two factors, the time of year and where in the streets of Yerushalayim was this roke found. Then we're going to have machlokas, whether kelim are assumed to become tameh. If you find kelim in Yerushalayim, if you find kelim on the way into the mikvah, on the way out of the mikvah, or if you have, does it make a difference what type of kelim? The Mishnah is going to talk about what if they are burial kelim. So then obviously there's much more reason to assume that those kelim are tameh. And on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the status of dam nevela, whether dam nevela is tameh or tahar, and in what quantity it might become tameh. And then in Halacha Beis, on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about the parochas, that what happens when a parochas becomes tameh, where would they be tovelit? It depends whether the tumas da'oraisa or derabanan, and then we're going to get into some details. The Gemara is going to get into some details of what the paroches looked like, or how it was made, how many strands were used to make the paroches, how many people it took to be tovel the paroches. So that all is going to be on Amud Beis. So let's get started again at the two dots, three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. So the Mishnah had said that Kohen Gadol Shemes, if Kohen Gadol dies, so the Mincha is brought from communal funds. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's Mishal Yarshin. So Machlokas Tanaim in the Mishnah, who pays for that carbon mincha? So asking, we have a stira, Rabbi Ba Bar Mamal Ba'i, Michlef HaShitas Yid Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Shita seems to be switched, because Tamana Amar Mishal Yarshin. In the Mishnah, he says that the Yarshim are the ones that pay for it. It's only Mishum Tanai Bezin that the mincha comes Mishal Tzibur, but on a Doraisa level, really the Yarshim should have been the one to pay for it. But Vahacha, but in the Braisa, Amar Mishal Tzibur, that on a Doraisa level already it's Mishal Tzibur. It's not just the Din Midrabanan that the Tzibur pays for it, but a Din Da'oraisa the Tzibur pays for it. So which is the real Din Da'oraisa? That it's Mishal Yarshin or that it's Mishal Tzibur? So Amar Abchia Barba V'lo Ya'us Humaksha. Isn't that a good kasha that he's asking? So says Gemara, As Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, said it in the name of Rabbi Avo, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Avo, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that really there were a couple of stages over here. Dvar Toru Sh'teba Min HaTzibur. The Din Da'oraisa is the Kohen Gadol dies, his Minchas Chavitin is going to be paid for by the Tzibur. Kivan dechazi dechamidcha kalishka, but then they saw during the tkufa of Bayis Sheni, Kohanim Gadolim were dying left and right. That's what the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes tells us, that during Bayis Sheni, more than 300 Kohanim Gadolim in a period of a little over 400 years, because there were so many that were not tzaddikim, so they didn't live out the year. you might think that someone would say, well, I don't want to be a Kohen Gadol if I'm not going to survive. So first of all, it didn't happen on the spot. They just didn't live out, the year. Although the Gemara says that they would tie something to them in case they died while they were in there, that they should be able to pull them out. But there were over 300 Kohen Gadol, and then everyone thought that they were tzaddik in their own eyes. So, Yisi Omer, so then they said, if it's costing the Tzibur so much money, Yigvila min Yarshim. You know what? Let the Yarshim pay for it. Give the Chazi the Pashiba. But then they saw that the Yarshim were being lazy about it, and they just weren't bringing the mincha. So eskinu sheteba mitchumas alishcha. They went back to the takana that has to come from the chumas alishcha. So that's why Rabbi Shimon used the word hiskinu for a din d'oraisa, because the takana was to undo the original takana d'rabbanan and go back to the din d'oraisa that it's ba mishal tzibur. That's why we use such a lashon of hiskinu. Good. So now the Mishnah went on to say that shleima haisa kreva, that if the Kohen Gadol is no longer around, they wouldn't split it into two parts and bring half in the morning, half in the afternoon. They would bring it shleima. They would bring it a single unit. So Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yochanan Bayi Mahu. Rabbi Yochanan asked, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that that they would bring it shleima? Shleima b'shachris or shleima bein arbayim? Does that mean that they would bring twice as much flour, a fully sarun in the morning and a fully sarun in the afternoon? Oh, shleima b'shachris or b'teila bein arbayim? Or maybe no. Maybe instead of a chatzi sarun in the morning and a chatzi sarun in the afternoon, they would bring the sarun shalem in the morning and nothing in the afternoon. So kate pshitale, maybe we could be poshet the suffix to chsiv mincha tamid. The pasuk says mincha tamid machsisa baboker umachsisa ba'erev. So this mincha is like a carbon tamid, because we say mincha tamid. So just like carbon tamid is every morning and every afternoon, so too this carbon mincha has to be every single morning and every single afternoon. What does it mean that you bring it shlema? It means nisarun shalem in the morning and nisarun shalem in the afternoon. So you're bringing twice as much flour. So says Mara, twice as much flour, but that's not the only ingredient in the Minchas Chavitin. They also had to bring oil in the Minchas Chavitin and Lavona. So was it twice as much oil and Lavona as well? So Shlosh Lugin Mahin, what about the three lug of oil? Shlosh Lugin Shach, Shlosh Lugin Vein Arbayim? Is it that they bring a full three lug in the morning and another full three lug in the afternoon? Oh, Lugametsa Shach, Lugametsa Vein Arbayim. Or the way they had always done it when the Kohen Gadol was around, that it was 1.5 lug in the morning, 1.5 lug in the afternoon. And not only that, Amrav Chiskiya uf hadat srichalei, that there's another shaila that needs to be dealt with, and that is shnei kumtzin, that there is a shita of Abba Yossi ben Dustai in Meseches Menachos, that the Kohen Gadol every day would bring shnei kumtzin levona, a kometz in the shachris and a kometz bein arbayim. That's Abba Yossi ben Dustai shita. The Rabbanan hold that he brings one kometz, chatzi in the morning, chatzi in the afternoon, but we're working within Abba Yossi ben Dustai Shita in Maseches Menachos, that on a typical day, the Kohen Gadol will bring two kometzes of Lavona, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So Mayin, what's going to be the din when the Kohen Gadol dies, and now you're bringing twice as much flour? Shnei kumtzin b'shachris, shnei kumtzin bein arbayim? Do you bring twice as much Lavona also? And you're going to bring two kometzes of flour and two kometzes of Lavona in the morning and two in the afternoon? Oh, kometz achas b'shachris, kometz achas bein arbayim? Or do you keep it the way it always was, that it's one kometz in the morning and one kometz in the afternoon? So again, the shaila is pretty straightforward. We know that you bring twice as much flour. Do you also, corresponding to that, meaning when you double a recipe, you can't just double the amount of flour. You have to double the amount of sugar in the recipe and the amount of everything else in the recipe. So do we double the recipe of the whole Minchas Chavitin? Or do we say, no, there's a din that you bring twice as much flour. There's no din that you bring twice as much everything else. So the Gemara tries to answer this. Am Rabbi Yosef, klum lamdu l'kometz, lomi minchas chotei. The shear of Lavona, kometz of Lavona, is derived from Minchas Chotei, because the pasuk says v'kametz hakohen mimenu melo kumtzos askarasa. That's what we learn from. That's the pasuk that tells us about a kometz of Lavona. So mala halon, just like by Minchas Chotei, shnei kumtzin. That if you were to bring shnei kumtzin, says two ways to read this. Some have a girsa of shnei kumtzin chaser, that they have the word chaser over there. That if you were to bring shnei kumtzin, yeser is kechaser, borrowing terminology. That bring shnei kumtzin would be like not bringing anything at all. It would be problematic to bring shnei kumtzin by minchas chotei. Others say that no, it's no change in the gear, so you don't have to be goris the word chaser. You just have to read it with bitmiya. Shnei kumtzin? You think you can bring two kumtzin for minchas chotei? So afkan shnei kumtzin. So over here also, you're gonna bring two kumtzin? No way. It's gonna be like a chaser if you bring shnei kumtzin. You can't bring two kumtzin of lavona at a time. So the Gemara says not such a raya. Amr Rabbi Chiskiya klum landu Well, where does the three lugan of shemen come from? Don't we learn that from the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im? Well, mala alon shloshes lugan, just like over there, shloshes lugan. The pasuk says by Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im that it's revius ahin. A hin is 12 lug. So revius ahin is 3 lug. So avkan by the minchas chavitin shloshes lugan. But according to Rabbi Yosef Svara, we should say that the klal is dial abamina din lios kanidon, and we shouldn't say there should be no basis to discuss whether to double up the amount of oil. But that's not true, because Rabbi Yochanan did have a suffix about doubling up the amount of oil. So mataman, just like by the luge shemen tzrichalei, there's room to have a suffix. Did we double the amount of oil, or did we not? Meaning, was it 3 lug in the morning and 3 lug in the afternoon, or was it 1.5 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon? Safkan tzrichalei. So we also have the same suffix by Levona. Meaning, the Gemara took exception to the idea that you would even have a suffix about the Levona. And the Gemara says, well, if you have a suffix about the shemen, you could have a suffix about the Levona. The only thing we know is about the flour. So then we have sveikos about whether they would double the recipe for the shemen and the Levona as well. Good. So now we could go weiter in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that they made a takana that on the para there's no meila on the efer para. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachum Shem Rabbi Yonasan bedin ze sheyimalu bedin haya sheyimalu ba. Really, the efer para is called a chatos by the Torah, and by a chatos there's meila. So really, it should be meila. V'heim gazru shalo yimaluba. But it's a gzeira midrabanan that there's no meila. So I ask the Gemara, how can you say that the rabbanan were the ones that were misakein that there's no meila by the efer para v'hatani? But doesn't the Brisa say by para aduma it says chatos melamed shemoel in ba? From the word chatos, yes, you would derive they would be moel in ba. But then it says chatos he. So he is a miyut. B'moelin vein moelin ba'afara. So we learn from chatos he that yes, you would think moelin, but he, no, only the para itself, but not the efer para. The efer para, there's not going to be mi'ila on. So you see from the Braisa that minatora, there's no mi'ila on the efer para, against what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah sounds like minatora, there is mi'ila, and it's a din midrabanan that there's no mi'ila by the efer para. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Avo, Barishona Hayu, originally, people were mezalzel in the Efer Parah. There's no me'ila, so I could use it for whatever I want. So every time someone had a wound, they would put Efer Parah on their wound, because Efer has a healing power. So they were so mezalzel in it. So the gazru sheimaluba. So they made a gazera that there's going to be meila on a drabanan level. Kivan she nigderu. But once people started being very careful about the efer para, and that they were so careful that it caused problems, because a person who was tameh the suffik wouldn't receive hazah because he was afraid of meila, because I'm only suffik tameh, I don't know for sure that I'm tameh, so he wasn't interested in hazah because he's choshish for meila. So the rabbanan realized that they went too far by making such a gazera. So they went back to the original din d'oraisa that there's not going to be a mi'ila. So really, it is a din min ha-Torah, but it still required a takanas chachamim to undo the initial takanas chachamim. V'alakinim. Then the Mishnah said that kinim that are pasul are boz mishal tzibur. So Rabbi Yossi said that the person who provided the kinim is the one the person who provided all the birds for the Beis HaMikdash. Part of his deal for getting the contract to provide the birds to the Beis HaMikdash was that if there were psulos, he had to provide those as well. He had to provide the replacements as well. So that is the machlokas in the Mishnah. The machlokas again is whether the kinim comes mishal tzibur. If there were kinim psulos and needed to be replaced, did they come mishal tzibur, or did they come from the person who provided the kinim in general? So we had a similar discussion already a couple of days ago on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. We spoke about what if you find money in between the box for kinim and the box for gozle ola, and it's exactly in between, it's not closer to either box. So we said it goes the gozleola. So Gemara says, yeah, but what if it was really from the kinim box and someone needs a kapara? Someone needs to bring, to bring those kinim in order to be able to eat kachim, in order to be able to have a kapara. So he said, Isha Zos, b'mayim is kaparas. The woman who needed that kan to be brought, where's her kapara going to come from? Amar Yitzchak Tanai Bezinu, Amasabikas Kinim, Amasabikas Psulas, as all of those. That was a Tanai Bezin, that the person who provided the kinim, the birds for the Beis HaMikdash, would have to replace those, would have to give a few extra extra birds for whatever would become possible or whatever would become lost. Okay, Hadrulach Parak Moshe Nimtzu. Now we move on to the eighth parak of Masechta Shkalim. So in the seventh parak we discussed animals or money that was found in the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. You don't know where they come from. So now we're going to discuss other things that you find in Yerushalayim and what their Tumah status is. Can you assume a status of Tumah? So a little bit of background. The saliva of a Zav or a Zava is itself an Av HaTumah. And not only that, when Chazal were Gozer, that a Nachri is Dino Kezav. That if you have a non-Jew, he has the same din as a Zav as far as Tumah is concerned. So his saliva is also an Av HaTumah. So if you find saliva in Yerushalayim and you don't know who it is, who it originated from, so and then you touch it, so we don't know if you're Tamei or not. So what happens? So Kala Rokanam Tzom Yerushalayim, all the saliva that you find in Yerushalayim, Tahorin. If it's in Yerushalayim, everyone in Yerushalayim is Tahor. You have the right to assume that it's Tahor. You don't have to worry that it came from a Zav. Zavim don't hang out in Yerushalayim. Chutz Mishal Shuka Elyon, Divrei Meir. Except for in the Shuka Elyon, that's where there are a lot of Nachrim, and on a Drabban level, Nachrim have a din of a Zav. So, okay, so over there it's going to be Tamei. Chazal, where also goes there in Amma Aretz, has a din of a Zav, right? That's what the Poskim assume, that we all have a din of an Amma Aretz. And since we have a din of an Amma Aretz, we all have a din of a Zav. That's why, even though, as far as we know, we don't really experience Ziva, we're not allowed to go on Har HaBayis, because Amaretz has a din of a Zav. So those who do go on Har HaBayis go to the mitzvah first to go on Har HaBayis. They have to do it anyway if they're Balkari, but they go to the mitzvah because of Tumas Ziva of Namaretz. But some of the poskim that say, yeah, going to the mitzvah might help you in terms of Tumas Keri, but it's never going to help you in terms of Tumas Zav, because Chazal were goes there that every Amma Aretz is a Zav. So it doesn't matter that you went to the mikvah. You go to the mikvah, now you're not going to be a Zav anymore, but you're still going to be an Amma Aretz. And an Amma Aretz has a din of a Zav. So that's the Gezerah that Chazal made, that every Zav has a din of, every Amma Aretz has a din of a Zav, but not only that, every Goy has every Nachri has a din of a Zav as well. So in the Shuka Elyon, Yerushalayim, that's where the Nachrim used to be, and therefore, any saliva that's found there, you have to assume is saliva from a Zav. Rabbi Yossi Omer Bishar, Rabbi Yossi says, no, you have to look at the reality the situation. Yerushalayim looked very different b'shas haregel than it did b'shar kol yimos hashana. B'ez Hashem, it will look that way again soon. That when it comes to shas haregel, there are tons of Jews coming from all over the place, and then the rest of the year, it's the Yerushalmi Jews that are around Yerushalayim. So there's a big chilek. When people were coming on shas haregel, the chayiv adam l'tayr atzmo b'regel. Everyone was mitayr themselves in advance to go b'yol l'regel, and if they couldn't, if they were tamei, they didn't go to b'yol l'regel. Tamei is potter from going to be able to regel. So it's a very different reality in terms of the numbers on the ground. So Rabbi Yossi Amar B'Shar Kol Yimos Hashana throughout the rest of the year, Shebe Emtza Tamei and Vishav Sudden Torin. The people that walked in the middle of the street were the Tamei people, because that was the main thoroughfare, and on the side of the street were the Torah people, because there were more Tamei people than there were Torah people throughout the rest of the year, and therefore any saliva you'd find in the middle of the street would be Tamei, any saliva you'd find on the side would be Torah. But B'Shas HaRegel, when everyone would come to Yerushalayim and Chayiv Adam L'Taras from Regal, everyone was mitired themselves in advance. Shebe Emtza Torin, whatever you find in the middle of the street is Tor. V'Shem Tzadin Tmein, and what's found on the side of the street is Tmein. M'nei Shemutin Mistalkin Tzadin, because the minority of the population were always, it was understood that they should be the ones to use the side roads or the sidewalks, and the main thoroughfares, that was for the majority of the population. So during Shas HaRegel, the majority were the Tahorim. So that's as far as rope that one finds. What about Kalim that you find in Yerushalayim? So it used to be that they had two paths that went to a mikveh. There was a path into the mikveh and a separate exit, a separate door to go out of the mikveh, because they didn't want Tamei people and Torah people running into each other on the way in and out of the mikveh. It's like by some places they have a separate entrance for men and women, because they don't want the men and the women running into each other. So that by Tamei and Torah people, that they don't want the Tamei people and Torah people running into each other. I was reading up some of the Deborah Tzina Rav's tshuvas. I'm giving a shiur later today about Rav Meisha and the Deborah Tzina Rav. So one of the things that he shries about, that he's very unhappy about, is what he finds in Minhag America, is that after shul is over, all the women hang out outside as their husbands come, and it becomes a big social scene. He said you should have a totally separate entrance so that the women and the men shouldn't run into each other. Okay, that's what he felt. So, but by the mikvaos, b'shas haregel, they were making such a way that not just Pshat Rangel throughout the year, but the mikvahs, on the way in, you know that whatever's being brought is Tameh. On the way out, you know whatever's being brought is Tar. So Kala Kelim Anim Yerushalayim, any Kelim that you find in Yerushalayim, so Derech, you read Dula Beis HaTvila Tameh. So if someone dropped a kli on the way to the mikvah, you could assume that that kli was Tameh, because it was being brought to the mikvah for a reason. V'derech Aliyah Tahorin. But if you found it on the way out of the mikvah, then you could assume it's Tahorin. Shaloki Ridas and Aliyas and Divrei Meir, because Rav Meir points out that that was the practice, that they had a different path into the mikvah than they had out of the mikvah. But Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, Kulon Tahorin. Every kli that you find in Yerushalayim is Tahor. They were not gozer on Safik Kelim in Yerushalayim. Chutz min Asalva, Magrefa, Vamaritza, Ham Yuchad min Lekvaros, except for a number of Kelim that were used to transport bodies and body parts to Kvarim, and since they would use those to transport bodies and body parts to Kvarim, so that's why they're assumed to be Tameh. But all the regular Kelim are Tahar. Now, when it comes to knives, which are going to be used to Shecht Karbanos, we're a little more Machmir than any other Kelim, because of Chumras Kachim, we're going to be a little more Machmir not to just assume Tahara about knives. So anytime you find, during the rest of the year, even Derech Aliyah, you find a knife, you're going to have to go and be Tovalit again. So the Mishnah explains, when do we not observe that Chumrah? So that Chumrah, that a knife, even found on the way out of the mikvah, if you want to use it to Shecht Kadshim, you're going to have to Tovalit again. Sakin Shanim Tzeis Barba Asar, what if you find it on Erev Pesach? Then Shochit Bamiyah, then you're allowed to use it right away, you don't have to Tovalit again, because if it were really Tameh, so Mistama, the person was already tovelit on the day before Yudal Nisan, 13th day of Nisan, in order that it should be able to have Harav Shemesh, that it should be ready to be used to Shecht Karm Pesach, right? All the Shechita equipment's got to be in place for Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach was a very, very busy day of Shechita. So if they had a Shechita knife, it had to be tar by the time Erev Pesach rolls around. So you can rest assured it must have been toveled already on the 13th day of Nisan. Bishlosha Asar, let's say you find a knife, a Shechita knife, on the 13th day of Nisan, even though it's possible that the Bailam was already Tovalit, Shona Matbil, you Tovalit again, then you assume that it's Tameh. Kofitz, if you have a large, like a meat cleaver, now we're not talking about that it has ridges, all these knives we're talking about, they're kosher to use for Shechita, but Sakin is a type of knife that a person would typically use for Shechita. Kofitz, while kosher to use for Shechita, is not a type of knife that would typically be used for Shechita. So Kofitz, if you find a very big knife, and most of them are not used for Shechita, they're just meant to break bones and to cut meat. So bazeh, whether you find it on the 13th day of Nisan or you find it on the 14th day of Nisan, shona umatbul, you're going to have to tovel it again, because you can assume that you're not able to assume that it was toveled in time for use on the 14th day of Nisan, because they didn't really need a kofitz on the 14th day of Nisan. But chal arbaas v'lios b'shabbos, but if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, then shochet b'miyad, then you could use even the kofitz right away. You don't have to tovel it again, because even though it could be that the Bailim had a knife to shecht, and they don't need the kofitz to shecht, they just needed to butcher the meat, but the Bailim is going to need the kofitz on the 15th day, which is Matzoi Shabbos, which is right after Shabbos is over, so Mestama, they already took care of it from before Shabbos. Mestama, they already took care of the tevila of it from beforehand. But B'chamisha Asar, if you find the kofetz on the 15th day of Nisan, so then Shochet B'miyad, you're allowed to shecht it with it right away, because certainly the Bailam was tovel the kofetz from the previous day, because he needs it, meaning that regardless of what day of the week Erev Pesach falls out on, but if you find the kofetz on the 15th day of Nisan, that's when he's going to be using it to butcher his meat for the Karban Chagiga, he's going to want to cut it up. So you could assume that the kofetz has already been tovelt. Nimtzuk shur the sakin arei kesakin. If the kofetz is tied up together with a knife, so then it takes on all the kulas of the knife. That just like the shechita knife, because you assume if they're tied together, that they have the same tumma status, that they where one went, the other one went. So since you could assume the knife went to the mikvah, mistama the kofetz went to the mikvah as well. Good, so says the Gemara. We had mentioned that all of the saliva that you find in your shlaim is tar, except for the shuka elyon, according to Mayor. So Rabbi Meshem Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Katzrin Shal Nachrim Hayusham. They had a laundromat over there that Nachrim used to run. So since that's why the Shuka Elyon was considered this problematic place as far as Tuma was concerned, because of all the Nachrim that were there. Now, once we mention the halachas of Tuma, that relate to the Shuka Elyon, so we bring a related issue. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Arodos Hayunochrin Bi Yerushalayim, that the Nachrim used to kill wild donkeys in Yerushalayim to feed to the lions, and there was a lot of blood that was all over Yerushalayim because they were killing these wild donkeys. That's probably just an expression, but there was a lot of blood. So the Olei Regalim would often come in contact with the blood of these wild donkeys that were being killed. And they went to ask the Chacham, are we now Tame? Because Dam Min HaNevela, the Nachum were killing these donkeys, they weren't shechting them, this was Dam Min HaNevela. So are we now going to be Tame? So the Chacham said, nah, they didn't say anything. They didn't tell them that they had a problem. They thought it was all okay. So the Gemara brings a Shita that says Dam Min HaNevela is a problem. Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Maisa, appeared to Mishal Beis Rabbi Shemesa. One time, there was an animal of the Beis Rabbi that died. It became a Nevela. If it just drops dead, it becomes a Nevela. And they said that the dam is tar. It's not, doesn't have tumas nevela. Rabbi Shaul asked Rabbi Simon, who's the one that reported this din in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, ad kama. What do you mean it's not tamei mishum nevela? What quantity of dam is not tamei mishum nevela? Is there a point where enough dam in a nevela will be tamei? V'lo agive, and he didn't answer Rabbi Simon. So Shaul Rabbi Shimon Levi, so he went back to the source. You said this halacha in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, so he goes to Rabbi Shimon Levi, and he says, "Nu, how much dam is not tamei mishum nevela?" Amalein, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, "Ad revius tar yosem ikein tamei. Only up until a revius is tar. Once you have more than a revius dam in a nevela, now it's going to be tamei. Wow, that's a big difference between just saying that dam in a nevela is tar and saying that more than a revius, not that much. Saying that more than a revius is going to be tamei. So vash Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar was very upset to lechazer Rabbi Simon Shmuasa because Rabbi Simon obviously didn't chazer shir enough. I mean, he heard the halacha from Rabbi Shimon Levi." And he just says it over without the details. To say it without the details, you lose half the halacha. So and it's very misleading. So it could be yotze takala al yado. So he got very upset about that. So the Gemara tells us a similar situation. Right? Bibi Abi Yosef Masni Adinuv. Bibi was teaching over this story with the Preda of the Beis Rebbe that they were metar the dam of the nevela, and Rabbi Bibi also didn't give a quantity of dam. So Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna said to Rabbi Bibi, Ad kama. How much dam is not tamei mishum nevela? And then Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna said, "Amalei ad revius tar yosem mikan tamei." Should you say that maybe only up until the revius tar, more than that is tamei? And the fact that they were mitired by the story with the base rabbis because it was less than a revius of dam, or maybe no, maybe any amount is tar. So bat bay. So instead of answering him, he sort of pushed him away. Bat bay means like he pushed him away with his shoe. So Amalei Rabbi Zreka. So Rabbi Zreka says, "Rabbi Bibi, begin to have a shalach ad bat bay. Anytime someone asks you a question, you kick him, you push him away. Well, what's the story with that? Amalei begin to love his deity. He says, I was all disoriented. I wasn't thinking clearly, so I couldn't deal with questions at the time. Why was he not thinking clearly? What got him so disoriented? So Gemara tells us the story. We've already seen Dam Rabbi Chanin. The Rabbi Chanin explains the pasuk in the parsha of the Tochacha in Dvarim Chav Ches, where the pasuk tells us that means that even though a person that maybe has enough money to buy enough wheat for the whole year, but he doesn't have a field with which to plant more wheat, and he doesn't know where next year's wheat is going to come from, so that's a certain klala that he is insecurity about the future. Someone who buys from a baker and he doesn't know if he's going to have enough to buy. He buys for a whole week's worth of bread, but he doesn't know if he's going to have enough money to buy for next week's worth of bread. That's someone who buys from a bakery, a salesman who sells baked goods. So, which is usually a higher price, and you don't know if you're going to have enough money to buy. And you buy one day at a time, and you don't know if you're going to have enough money to buy tomorrow's bread. So, Bibi heard that that's the explanation of the pasuk in the Tochacha, so he got very disoriented because he said, I go to a palter all the time to get my bread. So I realized that people like me are the subject of the pasuk in the Tochacha, so that disoriented me, so I wasn't able to have the clarity to answer the question. So Gemara says, okay, but bottom line, what's the halacha? Meaning, is a revius dam going to be tame, or revius dam in a nevela going to be tame or tahar? So my kedon, what's the halacha about a revius dam? Hey, Rabbi Shub ben Petora al dam nevelos shu tahar. Sounds like Torah. totally tar, even more than a Revi Yisdam is tar. That was one of the eduyos that we have in Maseches Edios, in the 8th paragraph of Maseches Edios. Mau tar, tar mila hachshu, says, well, nah, when he says that he was made that it was tar, it doesn't mean that it was tar. It means that just like that since dam is one of the mashkim that's machshir lekabel tumah, there are zayin mashkim that have the ability to be machshir ochlin, to be mekabel tumah, they come in contact with an ochlin and it's nichalei, then it's machshir the food to be mekabel tumah. So when we say tar, it means this kind of dam that drips out of an avela, that's not the dam that comes right out of the neck when you shecht it, not the dam anefesh, is not machshir lekabel tumah. But halitamos metame, but it's still tame itself. If it's more than reviews of dam, it's going to be able to be metame. So the Gemara asks on that techia, really, that's what it means? That when we say tar, it means simply that it's not machshir lekabel tumah, but it has the ability to be metame. So the Gemara says, tamin taninan, the Mishnah says in the 6th parak of Machshirin, dam asheretz metame kibisaro, that the dam of asheretz is metame just like basar asheretz is metame. Metame ve'ino machshir, and it's only metame, but it's not machshir lekabel tumah. And then here's the key line, ve'ein lanu kayotzibo, and dam asheretz is the only example of dam that's considered dam as far as being metame, but not considered dam as far as being machshir. But you're trying to tell me that dam nevela is just like that. That dam nevela is considered dam as far as being metame, but not dam as far as being, is considered tame as far as being metame, but it's tar as far as being machshir lekabel tumah. So how could the Mishnah machshir and say that's only true of dam sheretz? Elamai, when we say that dam nevela is tahar, we must mean totally tahar. So it says Gemara, vein lanu kayotzibo. No, maybe what it means when it says that dam sheretz is the only example of such a category, that's kishir tumaso, that it's the only one that the dam is metame in the same shear that the sheretz itself is metame, that it's metame because zayis. But normally dam would be virevius. Aval damo metame metame kibisaro. But the din of the dam is that it is metame like the basar. So just like, and the vela would be the same. So Gemara brings a shita that there's machlokas amuraim about dam shel nevela. Amar Rabbi Yossi pligi ba trein amuraim. There's machlokas amuraim about a revius dam of a nevela. Is it metame or is it not? Chad amar tame v'chad amar tohar. So mandi amar tame k'Rabbi Yehuda. The one that says that it's tame is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda in Maseches Edios, who says that Beisilil is metame dam of a nevela, and the Brisa tells us Rabbi Yehuda explained the shita of Beisilil that they're metame berevius because dam can congeal and become a kezayis. A revius of dam congeals and becomes a kezayis. That's why revius is the magic number. Umandi amar tor Rabbi Shua ben Petora, and the one that says it's tar holds like Rabbi Shua ben Petora, who we said that is made on dam nevela, that it's tar, and Rabbi Yossi is assuming that means really tar. It doesn't just mean not machshir lekabel tumah. It means really tar. So you have this machlokas amoraim, whether dam nevela yosir merevius is metame or not. So amalei Rav Avduma demin nechusa v'yotus, that's a good idea, that which you said, that the one who says tame holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because that makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda mor yonah de beinasiya hava. We said that in the beinasiya by Rebbe's house, they had a dead donkey that had some blood come out of it, and they were only mitar pachus mirvius. But more than mirvius, they would have been mitame. Well, Rabbi Yehuda was their paisik, so it makes sense that he's the one that's mitame. He yells more than mirvius is mitame, so it all works out. Kalarukin. Then we said any saliva that you find in Yerushalayim is going to be tar, unless you find it in the Shulchan Aliyon according to Rameir. So ask the Gemara, locate Amar Rabbi Yavo b'shem Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina lo gozra alarukin shabi Yerushalayim. I thought we weren't gozra in any roke in Yerushalayim, that it should never be tame. So in Rale Rabbi Yavo b'shem Yerushalayim b'levi katzon shal nachrim hayisham. No, when they had this laundromat where there were nachrim that were primarily there, so that's certainly you have to be metame. But the rest of Yerushalayim, we were not gozer tuma on the roke. Then the Mishnah went on to say that Rabbi Yossi said, no, it depends. If you want to know the status of the roke, you have to ask yourself two questions. Where in the street did I find it? Was it the middle of the road or the side of the road? And what time of year was it? Was it on the regalim when most of the people were tahar, or is it the rest of the year when most of the people were tameh? So Bishari, Mos Hashana Tamein Mahalchin Shibolis. The Tamein would go right in the middle of the street. Vatahorin Mahalchin Natsad. And the Torah would go on the side of the street. Vatahorin Mahalchin Stam. And if the Torah, which try to go in the middle of the street, that Tameim Omerlem Proshu. The Tameim would say, we have the right of way over here. You're going to become Tameh if you walk over here, because all the Tameh people are walking in the middle of the street. But then B'Shas HaRegel, HaTor Malchun Shibolis, during the Shas HaRegel, the Tahorim were the ones that were able to go right in the middle of the street. HaTameim Malchun Menatzad, and the Tameim were the ones that had to go off to the sides. And HaTameim Malchun Stam, and if the Tameim would walk in the middle of the street, the right of way goes to the Tahorim. That's the, on the driver's test, you had to know that B'Shas HaRegel, right of way goes to Tahorim, and the rest of the year, right of way goes to the Tameim. The Torah could say to the Tameim, go off to the side of the road. The Kala Kelim and Imtzam, we said all the Kelim that you find in Yerushalayim, if it's Derech, you read it to the base of Tevila, so they're Tameh. But if it's Derech Aliyah, then it's Tahar. So the Gemara asks, well, Lo Kenam Rabbi Avo B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Avo B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, not that way. Lo Gazra Al Kelim Yerushalayim. They weren't Gazra Al Kelim in Yerushalayim. Sounds like nowhere, not even Derech Yerida. Says the Gemara, that's from a Stam Kelim in Yerushalayim. Kim Shemus Derech Yerida, the base of Tevila, Nasu Achiach. If you find it Stam, somewhere in the Shuke Yerushalayim, then they weren't gozer, then it's tar. But you find it mamish on the way down to the mikvah, obviously they're bringing it to the mikvah for a reason. So that's hochiach, that's a pretty strong indication that it must have been tameh. Then the Mishnah said that the meritza that were miyuchadim lekvaros, the kelim that they would use for kvura, abishala yikarias on tziporin, he used to call them tziporin. Madiam tziporin, shaya doma le tziporin, that it had a shape like a tziporin, like tziporin, like birds. Madiam meritza, the one that called these kelim meritza, shemeritza sev in the base of kvaros, that it was a way to transport quickly to bring the body to the base of kvaros. That's what the Rambam writes in the Perush Mishnayos over here, that it's a magrifa is a klisha gorfen v'konsin bohat samos k'shem ufuzarin, and a meritza is klisha rotzim u'mishabrin bohat samos hameis lachnisam besal lolichem makom lemakom. Wild, right? The Rambam says, what is this meritza? It was a bone crushing kli. They would crush up the bones to fit it into a small box so they could bring it to the to Mimakom Lamakom. When they had to do a Pinoy Kever, when they had to move a Kever from one place to the other to bring someone to Kivrei Avos or to, you know, for whatever reason, the only time you're allowed to do is to bring someone to Kivrei Avos or if there's a chashash of the zilzul of the Kever or to bring Taretz Yisrael. So they would crush up the bones in order to fit it into a small box. That's the discussion in the poskim. Are you allowed to do that? There's a tshuva in the Radvaz, in the Chelek Beis, and some Tav Reish Yud Aleph, if you're being molech at Samos HaMesim, Laretz Yisrael, and there's only so much room in the container, in the shipping container, to bring the at Samos HaMesim, so you want to bring as many Mesim as possible. Rachman al-San, we had during COVID, when they were trying to fill up these private jets with dead bodies to bring them to Eretz Yisrael, because there were no commercial airlines flying. So an Arun is big, so and a private jet is small, usually. So there were only so many that could fit. So I was there. We were trying to pile them, you know, there weren't so many that you could fit into the plane. So it would have been a lot easier if you could just condense them and make them more compact. So Rav Vaza, we would never have Avamin of doing this now, but the Rav Vaza was asked about that, whether you're allowed to do it, and he brings a raya from the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos over here that you're allowed to do it, because it's all Mishum Kavod HaMeis, and anything that's Mishum Kavod HaMeis, you're allowed to do. But says the Sri Deish and Shuvan Chelik Beisim Kuf, he says, what are you talking about? We don't pass like the Yerushalmi against the Rambam. The Yerushalmi doesn't say that they would crush the bones. The Yerushalmi just says it was like some type of a wheelbarrow or something that they would made it easier to schlep from one place to the other. But not that's the Rambam Shita in the Perush HaMishnayos. But who says that we paskin like that Rambam? Sounds from our Gemara, not like that Rambam. Okay, then the Mishnah said kofitz, that they had a meat cleaver that you find, and if it's tied to a knife, so then you assume it has the same tara status as the knife. Tanya sakin kshur la rezu kamosa. If the sakin is tied to it, then you assume that it's exactly the same. There's a tshuva in the Shaul Meshiv. A guy died, and before he died, he left in a tzava'a that his wife should get to keep, even though he bought her all of the jewelry, she should get to keep all the jewelry, and it's all hers. And then after he died, there was his wife died shortly thereafter as well. So the Yorshim came to, so he had, it was a second marriage, she had children from another marriage, and the children wanted to keep all the jewelry, but they found right next to the jewelry box a number of other precious gems that were right next to the jewelry box. So they asked the Shaila, the Sholem Eshev has Shaila that the Yorshe Baal wanted, said that's not part of the jewelry box, it's not part of the Yerusha. And the Yorshe Isha said, clearly it's connected, you know, Shlomo must have been together with the. So he used this Gemara. The Shlomo Meshev brought up this Gemara that Hasakim Kshurla, that which is in close proximity and is connected to, you could assume is part of the same package that it goes together with it. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Parochas shenitmeis bevlada tumah. If you have a parochas that became tamei from a rishon l'tumah, meaning it mashkim touched the sheretz, so that and then it touches the kli. So midar raisa, it doesn't have the ability to be metamei kelim, but the parochas is tamei on the drabana level because it's only tamei on the drabana level. Madbilin also bifnim, they could be tovelit in the azar. They don't have to quickly get it out of the azar. It's only tamei midrabana. Umachrisin also miyad, and then they could just hang it right back up in its original place. But benitmes ba'avatumav became tamei from a sheret or a nevela directly. Then matbilin also bachutz. Now it's really tamei on a daraisa level. So they have to be tovelit in the harabais because the parochas is needs to be sent out of the mikdash. Vishotchinosa bechel, and then they would spread it out by the chel in front of the Ezra's Nashim where Tameim are allowed to go, and Mepneshi Tzrich Harav Shemesh. And the reason they would spread it out there is because it needed Harav Shemesh before you could bring it back in. Im Haisa Chadasha, if this Tamei Parochas was brand new, Shotchinosal Gaga Itzva, they would spread it on the Gaga Itzva, Kadeshira Amis Malachdashina, because from there everyone could see. There was a good view. So all the Am could see that it's how beautiful the Parochas was. And they, hopefully that would encourage them to donate because they had to make two new parochas every single year. So they needed a lot of donations for it. So they would see how magnificent it was. They would want to donate toward that. Parochas ovya tefach. The thickness of the parochas was a full tefach. And it was woven with 72 strands. I'll call nimo nima esmar ba'chutin. And each of those strands had 24 thinner strings that made up each of the thicker strings. Orka arboim amav v'rechba esrim. And it was 40 amos by 20 amos. Umishronim shtayim ribo haisanasis. And it was made from 820,000 small strands. Ushtayim osin b'chal shana. And they would make two of them every year. Usholosh meos kohanim et bilinosa. And it took 300 kohanim just to put it in the mikveh. See, ilu amr chut echad kafal shnayim. If it just would have said chut when it describes a prochas, I would have said that it's echad kafal shnayim, that it's two strands. Shazur, if it would have said shazur, I would say shlosha. Mashzar, then it says mashzar shisha. L'shisha, that tells me that it's six strands of each type that's described in the pasuk. So, and there are four types that are described in the pasuk, right? It's sisa prochas tcheles v'argamen v'tlah shani v'sheish mashzar. So v'sheish. So you have six. You have four different types of strings. So if you have six of each of four different types of strings, so ha esrim arba. That's how you know that there are 24 strands in each thicker string. Tani shlosha mushtayim. A second sheet in the Bryce says that it's 32 in each because ilu amar chut echad kafal shnayim. Chut would mean doubled over. Shazur means doubled again. La arba. Mashzar, doubled again. L'shmona. And then arba mika natlasin train. So then it's four of each of those. So then it's 32 in total. And then a third sheet, tatana arba'im u'shmona. There was 48 strands. Why? Ilu amar chut echad kafal shnayim. Kliya, it says Shesh Kalua, that's Lashlosha. Then Shazur is double that, that's Lashisha. Mashar is double that, that's Lashnemasar. And then it's four of each. So Arba Mikan, Harba Mtumanya. That's how you're going to get to 48 strands that went into making the parochas. Kasavech Romer. Then we said that one pasuk says that you make a Masach Lepesach Ha'ol, Tchel Shagom, Tlashar Shazra, Masay Rokeim. Kasavech Romer, Masay Choshev. That the parochas was made Masay Choshev. So Masay Rokeim means parts of Echad. That the Maisa Rokeim, the Mesach, was Maisa Rokeim means there was only one image on it. Maisa Choshev is Shnei Partzufos, that there were two images on it. Rabbi Yitzhak Rabbi Nechemia, what does that mean? Chadam Maisa Rokeim Ari Mikan V'chalak Mikan, that there was an image of a lion on one side and the other side was blank. Maisa Choshev is Ari Mikan V'Ari Mikan, that it was a lion, an image of a lion on each side of the Peroches. V'charga Amar, but Charna Amar, another Shita says that no, Maisa Rokeim means Ari Mikan V'Ari Mikan. When we say that there was only one image, it means it was a duplicate of the same image on both sides. Maisa Choshev means that on the two sides of the parochas there were two separate images. Ari Mikan v'Nesher Mikan. Now we said Bishtamon Mushtaim Ribo Isanasis. It was made of 820,000 small strands. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bizna B'Shem Shmuel Guzma. That this is a Guzma. It's a machlokas in the Yachronim. What's a Guzma? The 820,000 strands or the 300 Kohanim that it took to be Tovel? The Teferis Yisrael. There's a whole cheshbon over here. How it works out to exactly 300 kohanim. If it was 40 amos by 20 amos, and you assume that we're dealing with an amah bas chamisha tfachim, so 40, 80 to 100, 120, so it's 120 amos around, times 5 is 600 tfachim around, 300 kohanim, a fist is a tefach, each holding with two hands, that's going to be exactly 600 tvachim. That's a lot of assumptions. It's assuming that we're talking with an amas bas chamisha tvachim, but amas kelim is bas chamisha tvachim. This is l'chora amas habinyan. It should have been bas shisha tvachim. Also, where did the people fit? If you're holding with two hands, a person's body is wider than his two hands. So that's the question, which one is really the guzma? But one of these is guzma. And similarly, tamin tanin and pam mayala, k'shlosh meyos kur, that they had sometimes on the mizbech so much deshen that it was 300 kur. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbon b'shem Shmuel, guzma. That's also guzma. It's an exaggeration. It means that there was a lot of ashes on the mizbech. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with halacha gimel.